Hello and welcome to another episode of Never a Straight Answer, the podcast that aims to cover a wide range of topics, from conspiracy theories to popular culture and news. I'm Gaz, and in the studio, as always, is a riddle wrapped inside an enigma, bundled up in a big question, is Mr. Taylor.
Yeah, you're right, fella.
I'm good, man. Yeah. It's been a week.
It has.
Been pretty busy. Been over to Birmingham.
Been Birmingham.
Dip down black country.
What did you think?
We went to the NEC trade show for work type thing. So it's quite interesting. There's quite a lot of things to see if you get the opportunity to mooch around
It's definitely
good. Spring fair at the NEC. Other than that, went out, had a couple of bevvies afterwards.
And
a bit of a curry, and that was nice. And now just chilling.
Yeah.
A couple of days off.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So
you
been doing
chill time.
Been doing a bit of research on tonight's topic, and it's done me head in. I've got to admit, there's so much to this in there. I don't want to put anyone off. It's going to be a good show. We're going to ask some deep philosophical questions. I think.
You can answer for yourself.
You can answer for yourself, or you can ask us, and we can try and palm you off with some bullshit explanation.
Bullshit, we're not the BBC.
And we don't charge you a TV license either.
Which you don't have to have.
We can go into that another day. How's your week been?
Busy, man. Work, this, that, and the other.
Yeah,
it just keeps cropping up. It's like, I've got to do it. Oh, why do I have to do it? Oh, right, I want to chill. I've got my little chill on, though, but...
Bit of time for yourself.
Got to have a little time to yourself.
Got to admit, because it was such a long shift on the Friday when I got back, and I was like, right, I'm going to sleep for a bit, chill out.
For a week.
I've just been in and out of sleep the last couple of days.
Been a bit
comatose. I know, what's going on? So we got a lot to get through this week. Last week was a good show. If you didn't get to check that out, Stanley Kubrick and the moon conspiracy, whether Stanley Kubrick was indeed, in fact, linked to the moon landing, and whether he kind of directed it, shot it, I suppose.
A lot
of good evidence to support it. So if you want to go and check, if you want to check it out, that's last week's episode. You can get that on all your platforms.
The extra.
We had a bit of a glitch with the extra. Did you notice?
No, I didn't actually.
Actually, you didn't notice?
No.
Oh my god, the intro, our normal intro, for some reason, was replaced with another podcast bit that we'd recorded previously. So it's like weird. So I was kind of amazed that hardly anyone cottoned on to that. Maybe people just thought, what's this? A little extra bit, but it's fixed now anyway, so that's not an issue. Have you got any news that you want to talk about, Mr. Taylor?
A lot of news, a lot of weird news as well.
I've got a bit of news. Kick off the show with a bit of news.
I'll kick off with first one, Alex Jones.
Again, what's happening with Alex?
Yeah. Right, there's something been going on, through a guy called Robin Stones.
Right, and what's Robin Stones got to do?
He's either working for the CNN, or he's been part of the government, or something like this. Well, basically, there's three videos that have come out to Alex Jones, but beforehand had been sent to senators, chief of police, chief of the FBI, the director. And there's even a judge who wants to make an inquiry about this, because it looks like it was a setup that the FBI brought in the CNN reporters in to where they were going to raid a property, and they set up how they were going to do it, and then went away, and then come back and did it. And then
wait a minute, are you going to tell me that it was Alex Jones's property?
It's against the law, because if you've got a warrant, you cannot pass any of that information on to anyone else until you serve that warrant.
Right, okay, and that's what they're being accused of doing.
Day before to the CNN, because the newspapers already knew about this, So someone set up cameras and caught him, even going up to the reporter, even to the guy he'd be arresting, and went, like, well done, you know. Yeah,
pat on the back, here's your kit back, mate. Yeah. Nice one for
so
a job, well done.
So it's basically like a studio they made for 15, 20 minutes. We're going to do this, going to do that, and then go off, Scarpa. Next day, come in, do it. And actually, the way they did it.
Like film it?
Yeah, film it, actually do it, and then go off, and then make the make it look like the person who had done the criminal act, which now whoever the person was is going to get away with it because the warrant won't serve to him. It was
right, you're confusing me, you're going to have to slow down, right? So basically what you're saying is that because this warrant's been issued to raid this house, right? The info's been passed on, so therefore they're not allowed to do that.
They're not allowed to do it until it's served.
Now, they've kind of come in knowing that they were going to do this illegally
and set up a little
undercover camera operation, and now they've caught them doing it.
Yeah, basically, because the newspapers that got it, I think this is who this Roger Stone is.
Right.
He passed it through, and when it got passed through, you know, like on these tapes are going to this person or this person to get edited or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It got secretly passed on.
But where's Alex Jones come into this?
Because they've sent these videos to a lot of departments and nothing on the mainstream news about it. So this guy's passed it on to Alex Jones to pass out.
Right.
So
okay.
He's passed it out because no one else, and he's going through it again and again before he actually turns around and goes, guilty, the FBI have been doing this, this and this. It's basically Project Mockingbird still carrying on, which is the FBI, CIA, the governmental take control of what gets reported and what doesn't.
Well, it kind of seems like they've been doing that for a long time anyway.
Well, it's
but
been going on,
I mean, and it kind of does suggest that when they kind of sell people like Alex Jones, who else was it more recently, who's been sold. David Icke, you were saying last week.
I mean, it looks like he's going to get ended.
I just don't see, you know, that's kind of censorship in itself. So they're saying that you're not allowed to say what you want to say anymore, or you can't have an opinion about things.
No.
So, well, I mean, it's like, where's Alex Jones actually, where can you hear his stuff nowadays? Because if you say he's been taken down by all these mainstream, so it's like you've literally got to kind of search
for him. Alex Jones shop.
So you've got to go on his website.
So
his website is still up then.
It must be back up, yeah. Because I'm getting it through other people.
Because it was InfoWars, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So he can still go to InfoWars and search the Alex Jones show.
As well. He did have a pirate one called, I think, The Hill.
Right.
I think it was called The Hill, yeah. But that got closed down when he first got all closed down in that. But he's going on a bit, he is still bringing in, you know, good information, but he's still going on a bit of a rant on stuff that he doesn't need to, or, you know, stuff that he's embellished.
Terms of this story, it's just the fact that he's kind of reporting on it and he's kind of bringing it out into
he started off doing what we're doing. Started giving out, you know, information. We just found out about this. We got found out about this. And then he got bigger and bigger. He got more powerful. But they're even looking into his books
very big
and
activist
stuff like that
as well. I mean, I think he was kind of out there as well. Yeah. Kind of, you know.
And he's a big man, and he's got a big mouth. You know what I mean? He knows how to get a crowd going, and he does get people going, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. He's definitely kind of one of those people who I've listened to in the past.
He was kind of
when he was going on about all of the conspiracy for 9/11. And just kind of one world government stuff. And even when he broke the Bilderberg.
And look, now you can get them on the internet.
Yeah, but nowadays it's like I don't know. I've spoke about this before. It's kind of like sometimes I watch him and I think he's just kind of screaming and ranting for...
I agree.
Some of the stuff you're talking about seems really far out.
But he's got a lot of people who go on there who are good as well, who are some of them, who actually come reporting from doing this, this and this. You know what I mean? Because it's not solely him. He's just the solely operator in, like, you know, the main man.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's kind of like, I can understand why you like him. He kind of comes off as one of these Trump type figures. I think you're into the
he's got too much passion into it.
The Trump type fucking persona.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you like boisterous sort of guy. Yeah. Have you heard this story that's being reported on? Hawaii's considering raising the minimum age to legally buy cigarettes to 100 years. Mate. 100 years old, you've got to be now. Well, not now, but they're looking at that. The proposed law would effectively amount to the cigarette ban, basically, turn it into a cigarette ban, wouldn't it, on the US island by 2024. Hawaii is already some of the toughest laws on cigarette sales. And basically there's a Democrat politician, Richard Kligan, who is a doctor who believes that more needs to be done to ban the ban smoking. He's told the Hawaii Tribune Herald newspaper, basically, we essentially have a group who are heavily addicted, and in my view, it should just be banned. So like putting the age up to 100, would effectively do that.
Yeah. It's bollocks, man.
It's a loophole, isn't it? Where they're thinking, right, well, if we put the age up, then you can't buy them.
You know what? If you're listening from away, you can still smoke it because it's a act.
Well, I just think people. I mean, like, smoking is a dirty habit. Yeah,
I agree. Admit. It's a poisonous.
It's a poisonous habit. It does kind of wander on the packet. Yeah. And I think that. If you want to do it, go and do it. It's up to you. I'm never going to tell anyone how to live their life. But it is kind of nannyism, isn't it?
It's like saying,
well, and I understand smoking bans in like pubs, clubs, kind of anywhere where you've kind of like, or if you're in an employment situation where you don't, you know, you can affect staff.
Yeah. If you're going to infect someone else, then it's
But like, you know, that's basically saying, well, now we're saying you can't smoke outside in the public at all.
Yeah.
Or in the privacy of your own home, because we're telling you that you can't get them. And all that does is enforce a black market.
Yeah, basically,
where people are going to just get the cigarettes elsewhere because you're basically being like silly and saying that I'm not old enough to buy them.
Exactly.
It's like, well, you got to issue IDs for when you hit 100.
Wow.
So you can go in and
see all the,
been waiting so long.
I could see an old woman going to the shop. Yeah, can I have 50,000 packs of B&H, please?
Are you getting them for other people?
No, for me. That's why I live to 100.
Well, I think it's on one hand, it's a way of looking at it, isn't it? He proposes a rise on the cigarette buying age to 30 by next year, 40 by 2021, 50 by 2022, 60 by 23, and so on, 100 by 2024.
Controlling the people. Well, giving them their right to do what they want, please, within reason.
He says he's a former smoker as well, and we don't want people to have access to anything like drugs or anything like that. So he's kind of putting it into that category as a health hazard and as a drug. So, you know, there you go. Self-righteous non-smoker. Yeah. I knew one of them once.
I was one of them once.
You are the worst.
I'm not like smoking, man. There's too much pressure, man. Too much pressure not having a cig.
Under pressure. Have you got any anything else you want to talk about?
This came up late yesterday as well. Seaborn. You know what Seaborn is?
It sounds like a sealant that you'd put run around the bathtub.
No.
Go on, what is it?
Right, it's the group that
A band? Have they won something? Seaborn?
No, it's a group of
Seaborn!
People who are...
Sorry.
It's a corporation that's going to help ferry the stock from Britain to Belgium when Brexit happens.
Alright, so they're kind of putting themselves forward as a firm who are not...
They've already been given, £14 million they put up.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
And they've got no boats and stuff like that. I brought it up the other week, actually. They've just pulled out.
Oh, no way.
They've just pulled out with weeks to go.
They were going to be...
And it was told, the government was told at the time, make sure you do your diligence on these people and that, A couple of weeks ago, Chris Grayling, I think his name is, the MP who's head of transport and that, turned around and said, we did our intelligence, everything's all right, even though Channel 4 News actually
did a report probably,
on the actual guy
who said he's done it, don't deal with him.
Money.
Yeah,
to another corporation in Africa, I think it was.
So we paid him and he's done one.
And basically, they've turned around and said, we can't do it now. Oh, right, so we've given you money to go and dredge somewhere that the council have been paying for because you were going to buy it.
We say the council,
which
the
council,
like the government.
Can't afford.
Well, so when you dredge, what do you mean dredge? The like the clearing the area,
so the boats could come in and actually because it hadn't been used for a long time.
Right, so they've done this work and now they're saying that they can't do it.
Yeah.
And is this down to their personal company not doing as well as they thought they were, and they, like you said earlier, they've not got the boats?
No, because one of the partners only found out off the internet that morning that the Seaborn had pulled out. Because it was a bunch of people who, you know...
No, that's what I'm saying. If Seaborn pulled out because they can't fulfill it, and they've looked at it and thought, fuck, we haven't got enough boats here, we haven't got the manpower, just can't fulfil this contract.
Yeah.
So they've pulled out. Now,
well, there's still questions on
out. Yeah, well, that's it. That's what I'm saying. Logically, there's got to be a reason. So
money,
it's like,
the money they've been
so
giving,
I'm pretty sure that there'll be another company out there that'll jump at the chance to kind of put tender
now
in for this summit like this.
But it's the short time now. If it's a no deal, there's going to be a problem.
Why?
Because because of the amount of stoppages of vehicles, you're not going to get enough going across the water or stuff coming back either.
Well, this is what we were talking about in terms of like this is what a lot of companies were whinging about. It was like, you know, car companies, and they were saying like, oh right, well it's going to cost us X amount just to get a kind of ship a car part over. Do you know what I mean? So it's we need to stay in. And it was like,
that's what these designed to tell you. Oh, corporations are saying this, that, and the other. Oh, you got to look after your car. Yeah, no. Actually, they're scaremongering. They are actually scaremongering. And I think if I had the money, I would be suing left, right, and centre myself. Prove it then. To me, this, that, and the other. Yeah.
What? Prove what?
Well, when we had the...
Prove
the information that you've just told me, because you're the head of this department in the government and you know what you're doing. You're there to tell the people, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen. You proved to me that all the stuff you put in action is going to work.
They can't do that though.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
So
it's not that they won't do it. It's they just can't because don't know what's going on.
They'll come forward saying this, that, and the other. If you haven't got the information, you don't know what if it's going to be left or right. You don't say nothing because you do not know. So I do not know. That is plain and simple as that.
But that's why. Who's going to be suing?
Scaremongering.
They've been scaremongering since the beginning, and that's what they've been saying. Like they've made it out that. Homeowners are going to suffer, small businesses are going to suffer, your average guy on the street's going to suffer, and it's like, well, to be honest, I don't see how. It's like, exactly. We'll just be independent and we'll deal with it as it happens, but if there is civil unrest, it's because you've lied for so long, and then it's come to the point where we're weeks away from the result and nothing's changed.
Do you know what we had to do? We signed this charter the day we said
again,
it and then left. That
again,
was it.
I cannot wait for this to be just over because I'm so sick of talking about it. Well, I don't really want to have a Brexit segment.
Oh, yeah,
every week
because
it's annoying.
Oh, I've got a little bit on the edge.
Sod Theresa May, sod the Brexit, sod it all.
Just leave.
Yeah, just leave.
Keep our $49 billion and that'll be it. We'll look after ourselves. We can fuck off.
Boring, me mate.
That's what I say.
Yep.
Yeah, move on.
Still got to go work and stuff, so what's the point? What are you trying to do? Anyway.
Yeah. And they're fucked anyway. France is it's in a recession again now.
Everywhere is suffering at the minute, mate. Not the best time to live in, is it?
Hey, best thing though, the pound's going to go up.
Oh well, we'll see what that.
See, there's
that,
glory
that
on the end of the court.
No, I don't know though, because it's like I think probably the pound will go down when we leave. and it will go down rapid for a while.
It's been going down lately, and it will go down, but with the problems that happen in Europe, the pound will get stronger because the euro will get weaker.
Well, yeah, there is that, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, but the day we leave the European Union, watch what happens on the market, because I reckon
there
will be a drastic downturn.
Well, we could bring that back in a couple of days.
Of course, but it's like, it'll panic a lot of people, is what I'm saying. And it's those panics that make companies and businesses drive their, take their business elsewhere, because they think, fuck, we're going to lose money if we stay here in the UK.
There's loads of people who want to come to this country, so it's a case of, all right then, well, you know.
Well, do you know what? I'd rather do what these guys are doing.
Go for it.
I'd rather do, NASA have basically turned around now and said that they're going back to the moon.
Yeah.
Have you read this story?
No, but I got a little story after your story.
Well, NASA is planning to take the next giant leap in deep space exploration as it looks to send astronauts to the moon who are able to stay there.
Yeah. Yeah?
The Space Agency Administrator Jim Bernstein called the American firms to help develop human lunar landers.
Yeah.
And he's just basically saying that he said the scientists have given a mandate by President Trump and Congress to return back to the moon for the first time since 1972. He said that NASA was planning to send astronauts to the moon and eventually to Mars and beyond.
Yeah.
And it's that exciting to, you know, basically start up the American space program again.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good, isn't it?
Except for I've got an issue with it.
Well, go on, what's your issue?
I've heard a story. I haven't heard the tape, but I've heard the story that...
The thing is, though, I saw it firstly, don't want us to jump in, but firstly, I saw a few years ago, they were talking about doing this by 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, what happened there? I mean, you were giving all this.
Yeah, you're giving
years
all this
ago,
and now you're doing it again.
Exactly. Is this just to kind of get your conspiracy theory space types on board?
Yeah.
It's like, we're gonna go back to the moon, and it's like, well, you said this, and we were supposed to be up there by 2015. I was waiting.
Yeah, I was sat there like a fucking journey, man.
And they didn't
do
nothing. It was like literally all got postponed.
You reckon we'll be able to smoke on the flight?
I don't think so. You probably won't even be an in-flight mover. They don't do it anymore.
Well,
on the flights less than 4 hours.
Oh,
so it depends. I think that it is one of those things that they should be doing. And
they can't.
Well, why?
Because...
of the Van Allen radiation belt, is that what you're going to say?
Well, it could be, but... Right. Donald Trump, the president, went for, an open meeting with, he had a few people around his desk and the cameras around and that, and we were talking about NASA and stuff like this. Right, well, 7 minutes before, on a recording, I haven't heard the recording, but this is basically what the statement was supposed to have been. President Trump turned around to the boss of NASA and said to him, if I give you trillions of pounds or dollars, could you get us up there? And basically, the boss turned around and said no.
Right, okay.
So he goes, hold on, so if I give you £1 trillion, right?
They
next
can.
The next finger, next time you get your budget up, can you get us to the moon and live in there? And he went, no.
Right, okay. Well, they say that they lost technology, and I don't understand that.
I don't believe it.
Well, it says here, this isn't our vision. We're going to the moon with innovative and new technology and systems to explore... and explore more locations across the surface than we ever thought possible. This time, when we go to the moon, we stay. So they're trying to say that they have got the technology now. They've got these new systems and new technologies, innovative new technologies. So we can only see, can't we? I mean, it's like, has something come up in the meantime since we kind of heard that, or since he said, oh, we haven't got the technology, or... I mean, like I say, they were supposed to be going up in 2015. So
2 days ago.
So, he said the plan is underway for next week when industry partners visit NASA headquarters to talk about lunar landers, which could help help maintain the sustainability of human presence beyond the Earth's orbit.
Yeah.
So yeah, something to look forward to. And as always, we kind of cover the NASA news on here, so we'll keep you posted on that one.
Talking about NASA news, we've got a document that was starting to be talked about NASA's secret nuclear weapons testing in Antarctic.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, because I heard about this a while back, and they were saying, like, that was potential for tsunamis happening.
Yeah.
Because if they've kind of, like, bust a big piece of, like, the ice, and it's created a fucking tsunami.
Yeah.
And there was a couple that kind of, when you look at the maps, you can think, that could only have come from one of two directions.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of them is the Antarctic, the other one is like America.
Yeah. Well, for all I know, they're still doing it there.
Yeah, it's madness.
Yeah, but yeah, it was there was three bases there or something since the 40s, 50s, 60s, and one of them apparently now, after a secret document got leaked in 2017, that there was nuclear testing going on there. Because they use it for, you know, testing being on another planet.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Because it's that cold. So they go, they dig a tunnel, and then they do it in an exercise area.
I don't understand. When we covered Admiral Byrd, and we were talking about, like, why go all the way to Antarctica to test, like, cold conditions when there's plenty of cold conditions on your doorstep.
You've got Siberia.
Siberia, you've got Alaska,
Greenland,
Canada. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Got so many places you can test this stuff, but though you think, right, I'm going to go to Antarctic, I'm going to drag my whole naval fleet.
Crazy
people.
Last week they were, minus 60 odd.
Yeah, but that was through this polar thing, wasn't it? So, yeah. So, where are you up to now? You finished you?
Yeah, I've done that, yeah.
Talking about the polar shift.
Yeah.
Right. The polar shift, it keeps happening. It's still moving.
Yeah.
They're going on like it's fast, man. But I think, like, how fast is 34 miles a year?
It's fast. It's three times as fast as it was 10 years ago.
Well, fair dues.
That is fast, man.
Because they're saying that the surge obviously is affecting navigation and believed to have caused jet streams on the Earth's liquid outer core.
Yeah.
It's been affecting kind of gyroscopes and kind of compasses in smartphones and stuff like that. Yeah. I think there's been reports. Now they're saying that it's moving from Canada. And it's going ahead in towards Siberia.
Yeah.
And like I say, they're saying quite fast at 34 miles.
Fucking fast, man.
34 miles per year at the moment.
Yeah.
So it's quite crazy. I mean, where's it come from in terms of, wasn't it Siberia for a while anyway? Because, I mean...
Yeah. Well, they was watching it from the North Pole towards Greenland from 1901, and then it sort of turned. You know what I mean? So it's sort of starting to do a Z somehow,
right?
Or, you know, like an arrow, and it's going back and forth.
Because they were trying to say, like I've seen a graph of it, and it was just kind of trying to say it was in a straight line. But I mean, I've seen other graphs that do suggest that it's gone in a bit of a weird zigzaggy path.
It does look like it's zigzagging.
I don't know. It's crazy, man. It's like it's one of those perspective things as well. It's like they've got the graph, they've got the apparatus to measure it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can probably guess that they've got it.
You know, something's definitely going on, and it's going on fast, and it shouldn't be going on a lot. So what they're basically saying is, about to flip.
The thing is, it's always cold in Siberia, so that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? If you've got polar vortexes over Siberia, then it's like, business as usual, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
When it's like, and it's affecting
it's a
us.
Warm snap.
Oh, mate, can't be doing with that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was cold enough here. I don't know how these people in States coped.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in terms of, like, how fast it's going to travel, if it's going to keep speeding up.
Well, in the way it's doing it now, right, so it's going to go a little bit more faster per year. So you're talking 35 now, about 37. So add two per year, roughly.
But it was like...
And at one point, it would just go flip.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. We were led to believe it flipped, do you know, the other week. Do you know what I mean? When all that happened. When
Yeah, no, that was a visual point of where it started to change direction and get rid and light, and it shouldn't be. But that was because of the mantle underneath the earth, underneath Canada, that was pushing it faster.
Yeah.
And that was weakening, making that stronger, so it made the Siberian pole weaker, and it pushes it over, basically.
Right, okay.
Takes over.
So it didn't actually flip last time, it just kind of...
No, it was just moving. Yeah. But you do get magnetic poles all over the earth, but they're all like small magnetic poles, but the main magnetic pole is the one to worry. That's the one that all the technology is on, which guides.
Yeah, so like if it was to kind of interrupt disrupt us, it'd be kind of free technology and it is obviously because it's it. Like the what have you I've not really I don't really use my compass on my phone very often, that's the thing. But like I've heard reports that, you know, magnetic north, because it's a simulation really, isn't it? It's not a true magnet in your phone, it's not like a true compass.
Well,
so
no,
you're based on satellite navigation and guidance. So I always find that that's quite out anyway. It's like you'll find that your GPS will say you're somewhere else on the map.
Well, that's why I always carry a proper compass.
Just in case it gets lost in the wilderness.
And the reason why is because about half a year ago, there was talk of you know, this happening.
Mm.
And there was a big discussion about...
A normal compass be out as well then? Because if the magnetic pole, well exactly, so you'll never know what true north is with a real one or a thingy one.
Well, it depends where you are, because you're talking like the magnetic forces from like rocks, so certain rocks have got big magnetic forces, and that's why you get all bits of them around the world. If you stand within that area, you're not going to get a true reading. You got to be out of that kind of area so you can actually get a true
again
reading.
It's all about perception, isn't it? Because you can go, well, I know which way north is, just because I know.
But even now, I don't think north star would help.
True magnetic north, then you just, that it's a construct of our own creation, a bit like time.
Yeah, but it's a direction that everyone knows to. Ooh. If you said go there,
Everyone knows
how to get there.
Well, no, not everyone. Well, I'm pretty kind of dim-witted when it comes to proper navigation. I can go as the crow flies.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you start throwing obstacles in my way,
I like that. I like a bit of obstacle in the way, because then it keeps you on your toes.
Got to keep going zigging and zagging then. Yeah, I'm here, and that's where you get lost.
Not only that, you can learn things along the way while you're doing it. Or lose things.
Fair enough.
Either way.
Have you got any more news?
I've got one about LA.
What was happening in LA? There was some...
Yeah, there was some kind of operation, but they've called it a test. They're just testing the soldiers.
Well, what I heard was, I mean, because I've only briefly touched upon this week, I've seen the story and I thought I'll have a quick scan, and I think I was running out the house, but it was... Helicopters in the sky for like 14 hours?
Not in the sky, they were like 15 to 20 feet off the ground.
Were they?
Yeah,
so what were they doing? Just like
to the
swooping.
Main street. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a bit scary for pedestrians, isn't it? It's like swooping in like they're going to gun them down.
They had it corded off. The police had the two sections corded off. They landed, four of them landed. Troops come out, got in the helicopter, they took off. And then
it's like kind of urban city kind of warfare, like how to kind of traverse.
This is what they're saying.
Yeah, but
they're doing it as testing because it's more likely to be in a population area.
Yeah,
nowadays.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That's like the same. We're expecting to have to use these techniques.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah.
So we're just testing it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like us going up to a government facility. with like bats and pitchforks and going. We're just testing it out. We're just looking for the weak points.
Seeing where I can stab you with this pitchfork.
Yeah, we're just looking for weak points in your security. Don't worry about it. We're just testing it out.
Get arrested. Yeah, of course you would.
It's like, well, nah, we're just preparing just the same as you are. What's the difference?
Well, yeah,
it's like, well, you're allowed to cordon off a whole area and swoop in with helicopters and pretend to gun down civilians. Like,
because
yeah.
You're a person, you're air product.
Yeah.
They're
whatever.
Looking after you. You do as they say. If you don't, we're going to fuck you up. That's
cattle,
right.
Man. But that's anyway, right.
But then the Black Hawk come in straight after it. It was slower because it needed to be. Landed and shitload went in, and but there was a bad tuck in as well. So I don't know if it was an actual operation.
They were actually doing an operation there. There was something going on.
Well, apparently the newspapers knew about it a day earlier, and also they reckon that there's a couple more on the way.
Okay.
So if there is more on the way, then
we'll
see. Yeah.
I think that's dodgy.
Yeah.
But like, you know, when isn't it ever?
But like, one of the operations I reckon could be a real operation, and that looks.
They could have the secret to time travel in that bag. They could have the cure for.
Could have that computer.
They could have the cure for I don't know, halitosis.
Yeah.
They could have
the best
gourmet cheeseburger ever known to man. They could have the Ark of Covenant.
Yeah.
They could have anything, you never know, boys. Like
Jesus in the bag.
Elvis, the remains of Elvis.
Yeah, we found him, he was in the shitter.
all these are possible in a parallel universe.
Yeah,
that's
coming
up.
Yeah.
All these, you could be.
Yeah.
Honestly, whatever they what they say is any action could possibly play out.
I suppose. That's true.
Yeah, what? I've got a bit more NASA news, but I think I'm going to save it for the extra. So I'm going to dive straight into this
subject.
It's more of a discussion this week because I think, like, in terms of mind-bending sort of thinking. It's one of those topics that you can't really come up with a narrative about in terms of, like, you know, having a story. And there are certain stories that you can talk about when relation to it, and there is a few that we'll probably touch upon. Like, I mean, we're going to be talking about the possibilities of parallel universes, the multiverse, and basically all the theories that go along with it. I mean, it's one of those subjects that kind of involve time travel.
Yeah.
You can involve a personal sort of decision making.
Yeah.
And what does that mean to you? Well, as an ethical question. There's loads of stuff to it. So I think we're going to have a kind of interesting discussion
about it.
So we'll try not to kind of baffle everyone's head too much.
Yeah.
I'm going to start by talking about this story that I found.
Yeah.
Right. And it's about a guy who arrives at an airport. It was Nater Airport in 1954. He came to the check-in, like on a business trip to Japan. He'd flown from the country, then landed. I think Nater is in Japan, so he's arrived there.
Yeah.
And he's gone through the customs, and they've basically gone, look, ask this guy, where's he flown from?
Yeah.
And he said he's come from a little country called Torad. Right.
It's alright, okay.
Yeah. He's speaking French. Yeah.
Right, okay.
And so he's kind of like, I'm from Torad, but like the officers and the officials were like, well, never heard of the place, mate, you know, come on, like,
yeah, which galaxy?
Where have you got any ID? So he's pulled out his passport, all of his relevant documents, do you know. Passport's got all the visa stamps in it, as if he's travelled, you know, he's well travelled, different countries. He's got currency from different countries, as well as currency from his own land. Like, and they're like, nah, there's something going on here. There's no such place as Torad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to kind of like get a map out and find out
where it is.
Yeah, where are you saying this country is on the map?
Yeah.
So when he points to it, he kind of points to a country which is bordering Spain and France, right?
Bordering Spain and France?
Yeah, and he says that that's Torad, right?
Okay.
But on the map, it's actually Andorra.
Right.
Yeah, like here. I think that's right. Was that's the country that borders France and Spain, right? So he's freaked out. He's like, nah, it's Torad, mate. I've lived there my entire life. It's been Torad for centuries, 1,000 years it's been Torad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are you telling me about Andorra for? That's not real, right?
Andorra.
So they're like, this guy's a bit far out. We're going to have to do something with him. So they put him in a hotel room.
Could it be that he knows it as this country?
Well, he's lived there.
But Japan doesn't know it as that name of that country.
Well, it was 1954, so I think it was a communication issue potentially. But but no, I think like the country was established as being Andorra.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, as long as anyone's known. Yeah. So. It was this guy, he was the only guy who's ever come out and said he's from this place, right?
Yeah.
So they put him up in a hotel room anyway because they're like, they don't know what to do with him and like they need to work out where they're going to send him.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah.
So this hospital, it's a mental hospital.
Yeah.
So this hotel is guarded by
security.
His room's guarded by 2 immigration officials, right? His passport's been taken off him along with his identity papers, So, but when the next morning came, the man, all of his documents, his belongings, all gone, right?
Right.
So the question is, was this man, during his travels from his home country of Torad, on the way to Japan, did he travel through a parallel universe, a portal to a parallel universe where this country didn't exist, where there was no record of him, there was no reason for him to be in Japan, there was no evidence to say he was supposed to get any hotels or to be going to any meetings. So
now I've got in my head, I've heard this before, but I'd never thought of this before until now.
Right.
Is it possible, which I think it could be possible, that could it be an alien that's come here, stopped at the wrong airport where he's supposed to be stopping at Dolce?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He stopped at the wrong airport.
I'm from Torad.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to know what that meant.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Gone to his, they've locked him up and whatever, and then Men in Black come in and go, oh, I'm taking his documents, right, used to, I don't know, mind melt you, something, but problem.
Potentially, every possibility has.
There's a possibility.
This is the thing about parallel universes and stuff like that. It's like there would be a parallel universe where that actually happened.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not. I'm not. Nothing is out of the realms.
Yeah.
Because but this is what gets me as well, because we always think about these parallel universes on a personal level, as in our personal actions and behaviours that instigate these parallel worlds.
Yeah.
So it's like, for example, you wake up and Mr. Taylor wakes up in the morning. What you're having for your breakfast, Mr. Taylor? You're having cornflakes or Frosties?
Oh, cornflakes or Frosties?
Yeah.
Cornflakes.
Right, so you're having cornflakes. Yeah. So there's another reality where you had Frosties. There's another reality where you had toast.
Yeah.
And each Taylor leaves the house in the morning.
Yeah.
And makes different decisions, branching off.
Yeah,
now, that's one theory, and it always kind of it bugs me a bit, because it's saying that we have the power to create multiple universes and parallel universes.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, would you not say that was more a parallel reality than a parallel universe?
I'd say if it's true, it is more common than we realise.
Or an alternate reality.
Well, we'd never know, because we're going down one track. Yeah, leaving a ghost pattern for it to go off somewhere else.
Yeah, but this is the thing. It's about this after the Big Bang. So it's like the Big Bang is supposed to be that initial spark, right? So every action we make afterwards is as something that happened after that bang. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, if the Big Bang is what's sparking these universes off, then everything that happens afterwards is just a byproduct of that initial spark. Do you get me?
Yeah. I agree.
Sorry, there we go. Because thinking about it, right, there's a couple of ways that like these one of the theories is that it's expansion, expansion theory, right? So the, if you look at the expansion theory, it looks that we've got our solar system, our kind of universe, right? Then we've got the solar system.
Yeah.
Then we've got the universe.
Yeah.
The cosmos. And then as it expands, so from the Big Bang, it banged and then it accelerated, right? Throwing everything out, right? At a speed, which we were talking about earlier, weren't we? Because like they've recently learned that it's actually going a lot faster,
than the speed
of light, and like keeps accelerating outwards, expanding, inflating, which is the inflation principle.
The bubble being like grown.
But you'll never be able to, you know, that side will never see that side because, like, obviously the size of the bubble, like, it's so vast.
Yeah, I mean, the scientists put that it's that fast that you'd be doing exactly what you're doing somewhere else on another planet called Earth.
Now, yeah,
now,
you were saying
not only
this.
Once, but several thousand.
So in that respect,
that's how big the universe is.
In that respect, that kind of makes me think when they say about like universe, like not universes, but like looking at it in a multiple dimensional space, right?
Yeah.
So nine dimensions or upwards, right?
Yeah.
That means it's deep as well as vast. Do you know what I mean? So you could stack up these realities next to each other. And that would make me think, there could be another me in this next reality doing another thing.
No, this universe. Not
that's what I'm saying,
universe.
In this universe, in this bubble that we're currently in.
Yeah.
If it's a multiple dimensional space, then that makes me think these parallel universes are stacked up next to each other rather than out of the thingy. Because in inflation principle, that leads me to believe that once we come out of our cosmos and we see the outer skin of our bubble.
If we did, because it might be like a heart.
There was another explosion and multiple other big bangs happening. Like, imagine a soap bubbles on a washing bowl.
Yeah.
Right, and you've got all these little bubbles popping.
Yeah.
That's what they lead me to believe with inflation, right? Because once we've come out, they say a big bang sparked our universe, right? And our whole reality. So if that did it for us, then there must be multiple other big bangs happening, creating all these other universes, right? So but what we're saying is, it's like we can look at this on three different levels. We can look at it outside our own cosmos, there's more big bangs happening and these new universes being created. Then we can look at it as multiple dimensions inside our own universe, like you say, that everything's happening and the probability of it happening is happening everywhere at once.
Yeah.
And we could be doing the same actions
somewhere else completely.
Yeah. And then you've got the string theory principle, which is on a subatomic level.
Yeah.
So
that's got a lot
who's right, and how can we differentiate? Because there's a fourth look at this as well, is the time principle, where if I go back in time and change something and create a new timeline, that's a new reality. So
It's a mind fuck, right?
So, and it raises loads and loads of questions, right?
Well, but that's the thing with science. Always, once you answer one question, there's several billion questions more to answer for that to carry on to its root.
So, what do you believe? Do you believe there was a Big Bang?
Not necessarily, because there's two
theories. A main spark of creation, that's it, isn't it? It's like we're looking for, there must have been
something must have happened, and yes, I agree that it must have happened within gases, within clouds, and something must have sparked that up. But there is a theory that got, I've got this thing of, right, you know, like the universe, like our solar system, Pluto, Jupiter, our moon, us, the sun, right? I put that down as if down to the smaller molecules, So it's like, I don't know, like an atom. So you're looking at it like an atom. So you're looking like the our planet's like an atom.
Yeah, is it on string theory?
You're learning things about that atom, but you're also learning things about our universe, our galaxy, our solar system. When you're looking at our solar system,
yeah, they look at how it's similar, isn't it? I mean, we'll go into string theory a bit deeper because I've got a lot on it here, but it's just think that. So you think that
just carries it on. It's
like a sonar, like an echo. Like, so imagine a string as like an initial spark, right? So this initial spark creates a string, right, and pumps it out, right? Then the next, and that grows, and the next one comes out, and the next one, and it's like a beacon, like an echo, like a...
I'd put it more like a TV, right? Watch your TV whilst watching you watching TV, and then doing it again and again and again. You know that thing of seeing it again and again and again.
Well, no, that's a good way of looking at it. You've just made me think of a way, because, I mean, in terms of, like, in terms of string theory, right? And, I mean, and like I said, we'll go into string theory a bit more in a minute, but, what makes me think about is, like, they say on a subatomic level, they're going on about this string, right? And it's supposed to be vibrating, right?
Yeah, everyone's got its own different, like, vibration.
Now, you were saying earlier about how these strings could actually be in different sizes and
different sizes.
So that makes me think that it's emitting a pulse, like this frequency, right? And like a smoke ring, when you blow a smoke ring, what happens? They start off small and then they increase in size, drifting off into the air, right? So you carry on blowing smoke rings, you'll get a funnel following shape, from small, next size.
Yeah.
So potentially, in terms of like living inside a string,
makes
sense that we live in a string that's been travelling out so long.
Yeah, because it works out that you could...
Baffling my own head now.
There's six dimensions around the string. But
I think
you'll
find it would be up to nine.
Well, but it could go. But the can turn into three-dimensional objects, and then off that three-dimensional object, it can grow and grow as big as a universe, and you could actually be within a string that actually grew into a three-dimensional object, and then stretched itself so wide massively. And the other thing for the Big Bang as well, there's two theories for the Big Bang. There's either it's expansion, sorry. The expansion's going to burst a bubble, or it's going to come back like a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And they're the only real two
Expand and retract, of course. Because you think of it as a balloon, it's obviously it's like you expand something,
and then suck it the air
it's
back
got
out
a kind of like retract at some point, otherwise it'll burst. You think?
So there must be some kind of...
Well, just going into the string theory thing.
Yeah.
I just kind of, before we start asking any more questions, just kind of give you a brief overview on what string theory is. Okay. String theory is a way of describing every force and all matter, time, earth, the galaxy, basically everything.
Yeah.
So it's tiny little strings that vibrate at different frequencies, building the building blocks of everything. String theory is the attempts to model the four known fundamental interactions: gravitational, electromagnetic, strong nuclear force and weak nuclear force, together in one theory. Now, Einstein had been looking at the unified field theory, a single model to explain life and its interactions with the universe. And the starting point for string theory is the idea that the kind of point-like particles of particle physics can also be modelled on one-dimensional objects called strings. These strings of energy, are one-dimensional strings and are believed to be so small that if you expanded the universe, so a hydrogen atom was one proton and the nucleus, and one electron was circling it, And you kind of blew that up to the size of our galaxy.
Yeah.
One string would only still be as thin as one human hair.
Yeah.
So that's how small these strings are.
People don't realise how big the universe is, though.
Now,
many massive.
As I said earlier, the four fundamental kind of things. I mean, you can argue there's five with time and other kind of elements. Yeah. I think there's probably more, but like the four kind of fundamental elements.
Yeah.
Being gravity, electromagnetism, weak and strong nuclear reactions. They're kind of. Three of them are explained by quantum physics, and gravity is explained by Einstein's theory of general relativity. So it's understandable why there's a clash.
Yeah.
And like when they've done the maths and they've kind of come up with all these shapes and different kind of examples of kind of like predictions on how string theory works, it came up with like 10 over 500 examples and predictions of this string.
It ended up being there were six dimensions that we don't understand.
Well,
we can't understand, and then you had obviously like gravity.
Well, I was saying, if you look at the dimensions on bosonic string theory, there's 11 dimensions.
Yeah.
There's 26.
Yeah.
Or 26 minus dimensions. While superstring theory has 10, and M theory has 11.
Yeah.
So.
Which there was in 1973. There was like they all started talking about it, this, that, and the other, and they worked out that there was like six dimensions in it, and they couldn't actually find out the answer until 1995, where the original guy who did and some one of his colleagues come up and found the actual answer.
Yeah, because I think it got put on, I mean, a few kind of physicists worked on it. I forgot the guy's name now, but he was actually on with Brian Cox recently, and he was talking about how, you know, they've come up with this theory, but nobody really kind of give it any credit.
No,
and there was a couple of Russian physicists who came out and was like, actually, there's something to this. They had their own span. That was kind of the inflation theory.
Yeah, yeah. It joins together with it, so now the calculation works together. You can add that they just added something else to it as well. So there's like three objects there that connect together, and you need to, you know, find a lot more.
Yeah. Well, it was 1957, Hugh Everett, Everett came up with the radical new way of to deal with the more perplexing aspects of physics.
Yeah, yeah.
So he started kind of like the idea of the branching off and the MW1 theory, or the many worlds MWI theory, so the many worlds interpretation.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like developed of trying to kind of get your head round, well, I think, and this is what gets me, because, you know, we're saying about the personal aspect of it.
Yeah.
I think this is why it came up, because it was just an easier way of understanding on a smaller level, on a personal level. So I don't think it is a case of that we create these universes for ourselves, or we have the power to do it by doing another action. I think the idea of that there is the possibility that somewhere out there is another Taylor who's a rock star. Yeah, because because every possibility can be played out.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's as simple as you just kind of making a decision.
I agree.
Right? I think that's just the way they've broke it down for people to understand it.
Yeah.
So like they go, there is somewhere out there. There's a Taylor, and he's doing really well.
Yeah.
And all the rest of it. Not this is the reality that he. Yeah. yeah but there could be a Taylor out there who's doing really hard on his luck. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, the possibility is there, but we don't have that power, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, because, but who does?
Well, this is what I'm getting at, right? Because, like, going back to, like, time travel, right? Time travel is an interesting one, because if you look at McFly in Back to the Future, right? Marty changes his parents' life.
Yeah.
He goes back in time.
Yeah.
And he makes his future bit more rosy, right? Now, can we believe that's
can't be that simple.
That's not that simple. I mean, at the end of the day, he's created a new timeline, but that's affected everybody. That's affected not only people in the new timeline, but affected people in the old timeline, a timeline where Like, he's now gone missing. He's like, is he not even...
I suspect he'll go missing, and the next time he wants to try and jump, he won't jump back, he'll jump into a next timeline.
Well, it's good. It just kind of brings out loads more questions in terms of realities and, like, whether if that's considered a parallel universe or just a timeline, like a world line.
I consider it as both, to be honest. It has the aspects of both of it, to be honest, to me.
Well, so you consider that a parallel universe?
I do. I consider it a brand new line of track that you was going down.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, it's like...
But then the time... Well, then again, the time is not changing. The only thing that's changing is the direction. Now you're one, you were one, now you're two, now you're three, now you're five, now you're six. Every action you do is going to change the timeline.
But that's what I'm saying, and it comes back to this many worlds interpretation, because it's like you could literally have infinite possibilities of changing things. So it's like, I mean, they do it all the time in time travel, like Rick and Morty do it. It's like they say, like, they've got...
It's coming before that.
Well, good stuff. If you've not seen Rick and Morty, it's probably the best thing on TV. The fact that, you know, in one episode there, it's like they travel to a parallel universe where it's as close to their reality as possible.
Right.
They kill themselves. Like, they murder their own selves.
Oh, right, yeah. So they can...
Take their place, right? So it's like, or they find somewhere that they get murdered so they don't have to do it themselves. But, you know what I mean? It's like, but it's...
But then what if they leave that timeline? Whereas that means that timeline stops them.
Well, no, there's two... Because
you killed them. Well, so their timeline will stop.
Well, their timeline has stopped, that's what I'm saying, but yours carries on. So, and that's what I was going to ask as well. I mean, it's like, if... Doesn't it not make us unique? I thought we were supposed to be quite unique creatures.
Yeah,
and
but
then
that's
as well,
only because we're born out on trumpet.
Yeah, I know, but this is it. It goes back down to religion, that if we're supposed to be have this one creator, and he's created us, and we're all special, and we're unique.
Then
he's off busy in another dimension, isn't he? That's what I'm saying. You can't keep an eye on everything.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting at is, it kind of takes away something special about us. Now, I can understand why people go on about this flat earth and this bubble earth thing, because that kind of brings more purpose and meaning to people, because they go, well, if we're in a dome or we're being watched or we're on a flat earth, it means that we must be, or even in a matrix world, if we were in a matrix world, then there's ultimately a programmer or somebody who has put us there, which means that we're there for a reason, which gives us purpose, right? If we're in a multiverse, then and it's all random chance, and there's multiple me's, then what does that matter if I die or not? Because there's loads of me there out there.
Could we be leftovers? Because think of it this way, right? He's walking his path.
Right, he's walking his dog.
And he decides to turn back and go a different path.
Yeah.
Could we be at the end of the remnants of that timeline, and we're just like
free-floating, freestyling.
Basically, we're just like germs floating in the fucking.
Well, that's how I think. We're disgusting bacterial germs, and that's it. We're just here accidentally. It's just that we've got the ability, rather than most germs, that we can build our environment. We can, and this is it. I don't want to go on to evolution too much yet, but like there's a point I'm going to make about evolution in this sort of thing. In a minute, but like, if people go on that we don't evolve anymore, I just think that we've evolved to the pinnacle of our environment. There's nothing to kind of stop us. We're too comfortable.
We're being given stuff instead of going out.
We don't have to go and like adapt to survive anymore.
No.
We want something. We get it, a Ocado delivered to our houses. We get
it,
like, do you know what I mean? Or Amazon or something. It's like we've adapted to the point where we don't need to evolve anymore.
We're evolved and told what
to do. Well, we've evolved to the pinnacle of our environment, haven't we? So that's it.
And that's why I've got to go into space.
So going on to the like evolution, I've got a question here. I think in terms of like the Marty McFly thing, like, I think that, in my opinion, I think it's more of an alternate reality than a parallel universe. But it's like, where does that stop? you can't, it, there must be a, you must be creating a whole new world, a whole new timeline.
Yeah, that's why.
With everything in it.
You might be able to jump from time to your own timeline.
Yeah, but this is it. Line. I mean, I like that idea, and I mean, I love time travel stuff. And
but
this
I don't
is...
think you'll get back to the original place where you should have been carrying on that timeline, which will it interrupt time itself.
Well,
because you're actually stopping a time.
Well, no, I just think like in terms of like when we were talking about John Titor, I don't think that if you were to go back in time, and stop Hitler from being born. Our timeline would not radically change. We'd carry on our time like as normal.
Not necessarily.
But in another timeline that...
Could it be even a more evil
No, because bastard? Like I think, like he was saying, I think most of these people say, like John Titor said it, as well as Andrew Bishago, and they say, oh, well, we can't travel to exactly our timeline.
Yeah.
It's out by a couple of percent, so therefore I'm on a totally different timeline. Where if I killed my granddad, it wouldn't matter because I'd still exist, because on the timeline I'm from, I existed up until the point I came back.
Yeah.
Right? So if I go back and kill Hitler, then my timeline I originally came from will plod on as normal.
Yeah.
Minus one me, because I've just jumped back to save someone else's timeline from the monster.
Yeah.
So I think it would create another line, but is that...
But then
in dimensional space or out of our, in another multiple universe.
But would you be ready to take the consequences for your actions because of that? Just making that mistake could fuck reality up itself.
So how do you think, anyway, that we'd be able to do that? How do you think we'd be able to travel to a parallel universe? Well, would it be as simple as changing something in a timeline, or would we be using portals?
I'd say like the stargates that were in like Iraq and that, you know.
What Saddam Hussein had? Saddam Hussein had some, didn't he? And that's what they were all fighting over. Get me Stargate.
Yeah.
Come on, and what was the guy called? What was the guy called in Stargate?
Which one?
Is it SG-9 or something?
No, SG-1.
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 Yeah, you know what I'm mixing Star Trek and Star SG. You know what I mean? You know what I'm thinking. Stargate. I'm losing my marbles.
Yeah, there's loads of them around the world, man.
Yeah, well, where else are they supposed to be? Because I've heard about the one in Iraq. That's pretty famous in terms of
Africa,
like...
Africa. There's supposed to be one as well. The one in Africa is basically a doorway cut out of a big, massive rock. But apparently it's on timelines as well, that we have on the world.
Yeah.
And there's also in South America, there's been a few spotted there. Well, like history of tribes have said these people come through here, he helps us with this, that and the other, they did this, that and the other, and then he went through there, he took the chief come back, he went, wow, this is all like brilliant, blah, blah. And then he went and never come back. As like you did.
Yeah.
So I think basically, I reckon you could hit your own timeline, but the problem is the bit in between, the liquid in between, which let's call it dark energy or,
dark matter.
Yeah, dark matter. You know what I mean? So
I don't know.
If we could hit through that, I think you could do.
I don't know, man.
We need to prove it.
But this is what they're looking for, is CERN, innit? And I think like that's a pretty good idea to me, because it was like I was listening to a Brian Cox thing, and he was talking about, I think it was an Infinite Monkey Cage podcast, and they were talking about parallel worlds and stuff. Well, they were talking about the possibility of an Earth where dinosaurs were never taken out, right?
Yeah.
And like, so the meteor missed,
okay,
and it kind of didn't take the dinosaurs
out.
It
was four.
So, you know, where would that leave us in terms of the future and stuff like that? But then they touched upon something that got me thinking, and they said about there'd be a parallel world out there where man had never impact on the Earth, right? So that got me thinking about kind of our exploration. I know we've just been talking about NASA now turning around and saying they're going to land back on the moon, and we're going to stay there, hopefully leapfrogging us to other planets and Mars and so on, but there's so many kind of other missions you want to do, so
like I say, fuck about with the money first.
My theory is that what they're working on in CERN? Because if that was me, it'd make more sense if I had control of the project.
Yeah.
That it'd make more sense rather than looking out and trying to find a planet that's fairly suitable, something that's going to be able to kind of maybe sustain life, or we get out there and we find the atmosphere's not as thick as we thought it was going to be and we're having trouble breathing and have to adapt to this new climate. Then you've also got the political aspects where you've got, oh, well, they're not from Earth anymore, so they don't really govern by our laws.
Yeah.
Now they're Martians.
Yeah.
And they've got their own thing going on, right? Yeah. So you've got all these things. It'd make more sense to be able to pass through to one of these realities through a portal, where there's an untouched planet Earth, where which is purpose-built for us, and be able to colonise that. Do you know what I mean?
Because
it'd be cheaper if we've cut the facilities on planet to be able to go through a portal to another reality where Earth's untouched.
Because that's like me giving a 2-year-old kid, a knife.
Why is it?
Yeah.
Why is it?
Because you're fucking with something you don't understand.
But that's what I'm saying.
And you're getting more and more dangerous. You're looking for the Big Bang. The Big Bang.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're already looking to make big. They're already looking for black holes and stuff. They go like, you know, when they created CERN, they were already going on about like creating black hole, mini black holes, and the fear was, oh, it's gonna be get out of control and suck the whole of Sweden underneath it, or Switzerland underneath it.
And there's still and it is
like,
on that.
Yeah, of course there is, but it's like vortexes and whatnot. But what I'm getting at is, it's like, are these people aren't asked? It's like, if they've if they can do it and prove that they can do it, then I think that's more of they've already proven that this is mainstream science now, isn't it? Like multiverse and parallel worlds, right?
Yeah.
So if they've already proven it's mainstream, then they'd be looking for it. They'd be looking for to prove it. Yeah. So it's already mainstream thinking. So there's people out there working in projects like theoretical physicists and that. Right. Yeah. So
it's all very well having the story written down, but it's getting that story to fit. That's what problem.
That's the problem with string theory. Yeah, that's exactly what the problem with string theory is. Because like I said, there's 10^500.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's if that's a 10 with 500 zeros behind it.
Yeah.
Versions of the model.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And working out which one's ours or which one relates to our universe is fucking impossible because they don't know.
But that kind of Graham number.
But then that kind of proves multiple realities because there's that many possibilities that one of them's ours, but whose is that one? It's obviously from somewhere else.
You shouldn't fuck around with stuff you don't know. Yeah, it's all very well guessing and this and that, but you need to make sure, not just go, well, we'll just clamour these two together and see what happens. Yeah, it might explode like a nuclear bomb, but fuck it. We'll protect ourselves.
That's basically what they're
fucking
not bothered
about with stuff, which is good for science, but with the technologies and all that we've got now, do we need to jump much more forward fast? Again?
No. I think they should I always thought that they should have.
Slow down.
Back in the 90s, when like mobile phones were coming out and technology was coming out, like a lot, the speed on it was so fast. I thought, mate, they should dial it back a few years and just not release one every year because that's what they're doing. They're releasing the new version every year and it's pushing people into a corner in the marketplace where they feel obliged to go out and buy the next model, right? When there's nothing wrong with it, just make it last a bit longer, build it to last, and then don't release the next one out for another 2 years. Yeah, but you can make it more expensive on the initial cost price. And then make a bit on that side, but it's like they're not bothered.
They've got the technology there for the next 20, 30 years, but they let it out bit by bit because that's where they're earning money. If I'd come out tomorrow and went, right, I've got this phone, right, it's got everything that you'd need for the next 20 years, and give it you, you won't go out and buy that unless it, and it's unbreakable.
Yeah.
And you won't go out and go and buy another one, and that's the reason why.
That's true.
Because it's all data and money. It's all data.
Oh yeah,
profit,
yeah, well, yeah.
Again, profit.
Isn't it?
When it's like, what about the people that you're profiteering off?
So do you think, like obviously we've talked about every action you take.
Yeah, that's a reverse action.
Well, do you think that kind of does actually affect anything, or is that like we were saying earlier?
It's a bit like karma.
It's kind of like, well, no, I think in terms of like energies that way, karma, that works. I think that is kind of like just a natural law in terms of, you know, you what you reap, you sow.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... Yeah. When it comes to having that power, what we were talking about earlier, about maybe being able to create a reality by taking an action or not going to work or getting a different bus or changing your routine is not going to spark a new existence, a new reality.
No.
Yeah.
But then again,
so we agree with that. That's the kind of like a way of making people understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. I think here's another question, right? If there's an infinite number of you,
yeah,
do you all share the same consciousness?
I think there's a connection somewhere along the lines.
So
I
what
think
happens
there is
when
a bit of something there?
So what happens when like one of you die, or one, or do you all kind of like?
Well,
could I die earlier than one of my other incarnations?
We might all die at the same time.
Well, that's it, isn't it? It's like these questions. Yeah. It's like. Do we share? Because obviously I was kind of thinking about it, that they say that your every bit of matter you kind of contain is also somewhere else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Along them lines, I
now
mean,
I can
I'm not 100%
that.
On that.
Yeah, you're right,
but
because there's a thing about
they share
empty
it.
Space. Is space empty?
I was
no,
reading
it's
something
not.
About teleportation. Yeah. And they were saying about how like you're fluctuating anyway, but
when you
put back together, are you even the same person, or have you just been rebuilt? Yeah. So in the same sense,
if someone gets taken out, then you've been rebuilt.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you've been dismantled and put back together. So,
yeah.
but like you're obviously built of all these atoms, right? But I've gone off topic, but like
yeah, no, but it's an interesting.
But
question.
What I was thinking was, do you know, like if your every atom or molecule you that's in your body is also somewhere else, then if that
them?
Dies, would that not die at the same time? Potentially,
yeah,
if we are sharing the same
thing. But then potentially you could die and then
my head's gonna explode.
Move on to them. You know, as death.
Yeah.
You actually move on to them and carry on the process, but you've got a little control, or you're just watching.
I think
that could be a good
So we've covered that they could potentially use like CERN or portals, right?
Or stargates.
Yeah. We've obviously time travel. I think opens a whole new can of worms, and I think in terms of realities,
big subject, man.
Yeah, in terms of realities, you can argue that the parallel universes, but you could also argue that they're just like kind of a reality, like a timeline.
Yeah, for all
Which
we
is,
know, we're already in that and aliens or
but how
other
does that,
species have been
how walking would that
around
transport
us.
You though? That's what I'm saying. It's like, right, so you're in a time machine, right?
Yeah.
So your time machine is transporting you from point A to point B, right? And concurrently, there's another point A and point B, like train tracks, right?
I would have
They're
thought
both running
more
at the
that
same...
everything around you was moving, not you.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It's like, well, you'd have to shift into a new stream.
Yeah, everything around
so,
you'd have to
so
shift, not you.
I understand, like, obviously, like, if you're time travelling, and you're in your DeLorean, and you're driving, and you hit 88 miles an hour, and you go, and you hit, you go back in time, or forward, or wherever you're going, right?
Yeah.
That's a straight shot, right? But you've changed something drastic, That's not a straight shot back anymore. That's you've got a zig and zag before you get back onto your line.
Yeah,
so
you've got to find your line.
You've got to find that. So how you don't just leap
People
into it. It's crazy. So there's a lot
like
of questions
that guy,
to it.
Like you said, that you know the airport.
Yeah.
It could be just like that. He's done that and he's gone bam. I needed to do this.
Like a time warp, yeah. Or like he's gone through a portal or some, yeah, sort of parallel universe or something.
And he made a mistake in this one and went, oh, fuck it, you know what? Right, let's ooh, get my shit bum and go.
Interesting stuff, man.
Yeah. There's a massive range of...
Well, I mean, that guy just disappeared. I mean, there was another guy who was a time traveller who I think we've talked about. He was made a load of money on Wall Street, didn't he?
And then he just
disappeared.
Yeah.
But, I mean, gone. I think he was more of a kind of a time traveller who was trying to take advantage of a situation.
Yeah, we're going to find him in fucking 20 years' time. We were like, yeah, well, I'm the lord of the world now.
He didn't get away with it, did he? Because obviously he had all his money taken off him.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Probably thought, I'll try this again in a couple of years, but I won't be so greedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, so I think in terms of personal actions now, I think in terms of the... We've not really talked about the string theory stuff. I think the string theory stuff on a minute level, is one way of looking at it, and I can understand how string theory can make us help us understand the bigger picture, because we're looking at it on a subatomic level. Yeah, but I don't know if string theory... I don't know.
I've always liked it since I like the idea of it,
but like... I think in terms of like what's, because it's obviously when you start looking inwards, like you kind of, obviously that's looking inwards to a microscopic way.
Whereas you can't actually see it.
Whereas when we accept the theory of the Big Bang, that this was bang and we expanded out and we've got evidence to show that with radiation. Because actually there was one of the first sort of instances and proof of actually having a multiverse came from Durham University and it was cold spot bubbles in the universe in 2004. The cold part of space, what they discovered, then they said that it was cold because another universe had crashed into
bumped
it.
Exactly. I remember the picture,
It's like, you know, they've obviously got a lot of kind of evidence to prove that kind of something's out there. So that makes me think of the inflation principle being a bit more plausible.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I agree with the...
But in terms of the string theory, if they could get that one thing that was able to marry up those four other major principles, it'd be proper groundbreaking. We'll see what happens.
Well,
I think they're still working on it, but I'm not 100% sure.
Well, string theory and inflation will work together. I think 2015 found that the M theory, which no one knows what the M means, by the way.
Oh, don't they?
No, they just called it the M theory.
Motherfucker.
Mega. But it works out that,
Well, I like them. I do like kind of the idea of, you know, obviously there might be a gaz out there doing a hell of a lot better than me.
Yeah.
And, you know, and multiple versions.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the ones who took different paths and took different shots, you know.
But it's
good
not
luck to every one of you.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, how come I got this one?
Well, but it also says that string theory... the circle strings actually go into another dimension.
Yeah.
And it's like it's like so.
It's like
every
watching
bit
Doctor Strange.
Dimension.
It's like watching that scene in Doctor Strange, isn't it? Where you're like, ooh, it's crazy. Because this is what they were saying. They can't agree on the shapes of them though, because there are so kind of crazy vibrational patterns.
I think they know how they've been made though.
Well, how
yeah,
do you?
Yeah, mean? Basically the string goes round. Well, you know when I was talking about they can turn into a three-dimensional object?
Yeah.
It wraps round and then loose, and then you make the string, basically. It just strings together
as
a circle.
That's how them sausages
and it ties
made.
Itself together. Well, these are still all theories, but they're all mathematically...
But this is it. It's interesting to talk about because it's like we obviously ultimately want to know where we came from. We're not physicists.
Yeah, but how far will
we
go?
But it's good that we can kind of grasp it a little bit, I suppose.
But
this is it. It's like I'm always interested to find out where they're up to with this sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you think that we've kind of covered majority of it, then
there's a lot more to it.
I mean, there's actually loads more to it. I mean, we could go on about it, but
we'll give you the basics of
that's pretty much it, isn't it? Yeah. Parallel universes. If you've got anything that you want to add, or you've anything that you might want to talk about in the show, feel free to get in touch.
Yeah. Always happy to talk to people.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I mean, so what do you? I just want to go back to this a bit more, to be honest. I mean, where do you think the future lies for kind of going in, like actually accessing this sort of stuff?
Well, two ways. I think it's either they're gonna do something, fuck it up, and like shit goes wrong, or they find these objects, they work them out, and it helps the technology for us to go further. But I think we've already got quite a lot of enough technology at the minute to go like as far as we need to go at the moment. We're going too fast.
Yeah, but I think so. I think like it's just going to end up with like one of these horror movies where like a portal opens. We go, we've done it. We've got through to a new parallel world, and then all of a sudden, Facehugger comes out.
Yeah.
And sucks off fucking Sigourney Weaver's face.
Fucking get
I think, like, it's cool. I mean, if they could narrow down.
It's called what, dangerous.
If they could narrow down what's there before they go.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they could go, yeah, this universe, everything's the same apart from, I don't know, everyone's got four arms.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Oh, right, okay, well, that's not a big difference, but, like, it's, you know, but history's still the same.
Yeah.
Fair dues. If you could, like I say, find a reality where we never even impacted on the Earth, and there was an Earth that we could maybe kind of
go and
fuck up another one, yeah? Or
but
maybe...
we would fuck it
at the end of the day, though, it makes more sense to me that if we could have a reality, you know, we could find a planet that was actually purpose-built for our species, i.e. a new Earth.
But do you reckon this planet was built? Us.
That's what I'm thinking. Have you ever seen Hitchhikers?
Yeah.
Yeah, built by the mice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. It's a big computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to get the answer
soon. What was the number?
42. Yeah, but what's the question? The answer's 42, but what was the question? That was the thing. They went out there and said, we want the answer to the ultimate question. And they went, let me have a think about it.
Yeah.
Went away, come back in 1,000 years. So they come back 1,000 years later and said, what is it? And they said, the answer to the ultimate question is 42. And they went, what? What's that about then? They went, well, you never asked me the question. Just ask me for the answer.
Yeah.
So then they said, oh, for that one, we're going to have to build an even bigger computer.
Yeah.
And that was the Earth. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a conspiracy in itself. Well, Douglas Adams, thank you very much.
Yeah.
So I think that's the end of the show, basically. I think there's a lot of perplexing arguments we can have.
Oh, yeah.
We was actually hoping for a few more people to join us on the panel this week. Yeah. But I think me and Taylor covered quite a lot of it, and I think we've come give you a lot to think about.
for this episode. Go out and look about it as well, because it's the M theory is.
Have a look for M theory, string theory.
Yeah.
What else? The Dimension. Many worlds interpretation.
Yeah.
And as well as just type in parallel universes, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
parallel universe for dummies.
Yeah.
And then you'll find something, no doubt. We're coming to the end of the show. Just want to give a couple of bits of the last clean up for the end of the show.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
If you want to get in touch and discuss anything we've talked about tonight, you can get in touch with us at neverstraightanswer@gmail.com. And that's on the email. You can get us on Twitter and get into the DMs there. And that's at NASA_never. We're on Instagram and we do post on there, put up the odd crazy photo and image relating to the show, as well as just bits and pieces we find that we think are quite interesting. You can get on there. You can also get us on the personal email, or not personal email, but on personal Twitter and Instagram. I'm on Gaz Duncan, if you want to hit me up on there. And you don't have to follow Taylor because he doesn't use social media.
No, I don't.
But my campaign to just follow him around the streets is still going. If you want to follow him,
stalkers,
follow him, you know, home to the bus stop.
Yeah,
whatever.
Get a sandwich off one of them.
Do you? They just come out with a sandwich every now and again.
Yeah,
I made you this
sandwich.
You can also get some nice merch.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is flying out the window at the moment. Get your merch. Get yourself a mug, a t-shirt, a baseball cap.
Stuff runs out.
Yeah. Before stuff runs out, man. Because like I say, the Taylor's mum's bought virtually half the shop, man. You don't buy any more.
Big fan,
and
she's a big fan.
Well, it's quality stuff, man. You can go there and get some at Dizzy Jam / Never a Straight Answer. That's our store. If you want to help us out and buy us a beer, or just chuck in a buck, a dollar, pound, euro, whatever you can spare, it's all going to a good cause. And we're basically just, we need to kind of
build this
up a bit better, build us up our equipment, and get us some, like, you know, or put back into the show. Then you can go over to our Patreon and offer what you want. That'd be lovely. And we're always appreciative. I think we're going to try and get some bits out, because I want to get some sort of stickers or badges or something. If you if you sign up to Patreon as an exclusive Blue Peter badge type deal. That if you're only in the crew, if you've got one of these special badges. So I'm looking into that at the minute. And they're not going to be like cheap, shitty badges. They're going to be like proper, like, pin badge type. Pin badge type motherfuckers. So if you want to get one of them. You get on the Patreon, and if you sign up now, you'll still get one when we do it, we're nice like that. Also, we've still got a competition running if you sign up to Patreon as well, where you can win a Never Straight Answer mug, as well as a conspiracy theory book, wasn't it? So if you want to check in with a chance for winning that, also if you're also a Patreon, you're automatically entered into that.
Straight away.
Quality.
No messing.
Right, I've got a couple of shout outs. One from the Just So You Know podcast crew.
Just So You Know.
They do pretty cool podcast. If you want to get over there and check them out. As well as Tenish. I've shout out these guys again. Quite a few times, but they're really awesome, really nice peeps. And they just kind of make me laugh on Twitter and Instagram. Very nice guys.
Keep it up, lads.
In fact, I sent them a picture while I was in Birmingham, because put a thing up saying that the show this week was about questions from the audience, and one of the questions was, what's the best dinosaur? So somebody, they were having an argument about what the best dinosaur was, and one was like, oh, it's a fucking T-Rex, and one was like, it's a Diplodocus, and... And I walked past this dinosaur, and it was like a party dinosaur. It was in at this show we were at. And this dinosaur had a hat on, was blowing a big kazoo. It had some fucking sunglasses on. It was party T-Rex, right? So I took a picture and said, "Now I think you'll find this is the best dinosaur." And I just got loads of "you're drunk" messages. And later that night, I pretty much was. So I had a good one. And just everyone else for listening, basically, because you're all awesome. Fucking love you. Who else have you got shout outs for?
I've got happy birthday to Chris. You know you are 51.
Oh, happy birthday, Chris. Happy birthday to you. 51. Yeah.
51.
It's no age, is it?
Yeah, no.
Ah, fucking hell. Happy birthday, Chris. Anyone else?
No.
Is that it?
That's
I'm going to give a shout out to everybody in the world. If you've got to the end of the podcast, thank you very much, because you guys are the fucking bee's knees, baby. You guys, I don't even know, those fucking losers who gave up halfway through ain't got nothing on you guys. So thanks, guys, and that's pretty much it.
Man.
Always, if you want to get on, subscribe. Get onto all of anywhere you get your podcast from, iTunes, all of those places.
All the good places.
I think we just signed up to a new one, which is a beta as well, which is podcast.co. And I'm thinking hopefully we're going to be on iHeartRadio by next week as well. So it's something we'll probably tell you about a bit later on. And I know I say it all the time, but I'm going to be aiming to get some more on YouTube at some point. So. That'll be it. But that's pretty much all the news and all of the conspiracies, all of the sciencey stuff we've got for today. And we'll be with you midweek, probably for an extra. And back with you next week for another thrilling episode of Never a Straight Answer.
Always thrilling.
I've been Gaz.
I've been Taylor.
And that's it for tonight. Peace.
Out. Oh, I'm going to have that strawberry now.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.